Christ is risen. Христос воскресе. Христос анесте. I love this gospel. This is the fifth matinal gospel that we say during the matins for Sunday. And there's 11 gospels altogether. And the reason why this gospel is said today, I don't know why it's done particularly on this Tuesday, but during Bright Week, the reason why we say one of these gospels during Bright Week, when normally we're reading the Gospel of John, is because we want to read all 11 resurrectional gospels before it gets to be the leave-taking of Pascha. And we only have so much time, right? We have 40 days, 39 days, really. And so we have to jam them all in there. We have some Sundays. We also have the Sunday of Thomas, where we read the, I think it's the 10th gospel, I believe. And might be the 9th gospel. I think it's the 9th gospel. And we read them all so that we finish them before the leave-taking of Pascha. I think that's a beautiful tradition, because after all, this is about the resurrection. So we're going to sing, we're going to read about the resurrection. I love this gospel because it's so realistic about how we encounter the resurrection, how we encounter God in general. We encounter God with doubt and with sadness and with incompleteness and with all of the, as we say, stupid human tricks. Well, at least I say it, stupid human tricks. We have all this stuff that we do, and we're in difficult times all the time, really. But this is particularly a difficult time for many, many people, for the entire world, actually. And there's confusion, there's sadness. The disciples that were on the road, it was Cleopas, and of course the other one was Luke. Because Luke is describing this so intimately, of course it was him, and the tradition knows that it was him. But he didn't mention himself. Just one of the disciples was Cleopas, and he didn't mention the other one. And they're walking on the way to Emmaus, a long walk, basically a Sabbath day's journey. And they were sad because they thought Christ was going to be their Messiah. They thought he was going to live forever. But he didn't. He up and died on the cross. Not only that, but he was ridiculed on the cross. Something that they wouldn't think would happen to a king. So they believed in him, but then they had their hopes dashed. Not completely. It's not like they no longer believed in him, but they just were sad. Really sad. I encounter that kind of sadness all the time. Sometimes it's in me, but I see it in other people a lot. I just got a letter from a guy in prison. He's so unbelievably sad. And there's no relief for his sadness right now. He's an older man. His parents are dead. His brother, who loves him very much, obviously can't see him very often. I think he lost his family because of going to prison. It's the kind of guy in prison that, and Peter would exactly agree with me if you met him, because you know people that you know are criminals. You know, they look like criminals, they act like criminals, or they're just sort of, there's something a little wrong with them. And this guy, he doesn't look like a criminal. He doesn't look like he belongs there at all. If he did commit this crime, he committed one crime in his life, and he's in prison for a long time. And he's very sad. A lot of us have sadness. So these apostles, they had sadness, deep grief. The grief was so deep, in fact, that this is why I think fathers have different opinions. This is why I think they didn't recognize Christ. I think they were so filled with grief that it didn't occur to them that Christ could be alive. So when Christ approached them, looking not quite like he was before his death, he was transfigured. I don't mean transfigured like on the mountain, but he was different. He was radiant. He was perfected. And they didn't expect him. So they didn't recognize him. And they're walking by on the road. And he's asking them, why are you of sad incontinence? And they are kind of incredulous. What do you don't know what's happened in the past 3 days? Our rulers took the Christ. We thought he would be the Christ, but then they crucified him. And what more, it's been 3 days since that time. And some of our company went to the tomb this morning, and they said he wasn't there. They still didn't understand That's what grief does to a person. Grief makes a person a little bit crazy. Grief makes a person just unable to reason. And so they could have put two and two together, but they weren't capable of it because of their grief, because of their despondency. They just couldn't do it. But he's walking there, and later on they commented, "Didn't our hearts burn within us?" As he was explaining these things on the way, on the road. Later on they said that comment. So during that time, when they were talking to him, there was something in their heart that told them something was going on. They still didn't completely understand. This is a microcosm of our life. This is what happens to us. We look through the glass and it's dark. We see through the glass darkly. We see images. Sometimes we see very good images, very, you know, we can really see them well. Sometimes they're pretty blurry. Sometimes it's hard to put one foot in front of another. Sometimes there's just too much dejection and despondency and maybe too much sin, etc. But we believe. We just have to be like that man who had the child. We believe, but we need the Lord to help us with our unbelief. So that's what he was doing with Luke and Cleopas. And their hearts are burning within them. What a beautiful moment that is. I think that's your moment too. That's my moment. That's the moment of a Christian. But that moment is your lifetime moment. Where you are, your heart is burning within you, but you don't quite understand it. Which one of us understands the Trinity? Which one of us understands really anything about anything? We just understand parts of things. And they're walking on the road, and their hearts are burning within them. And they get to the village. And then it's nighttime, it's time to eat. So they ask him to stay and eat with them, and he does. And then, of course, when he breaks bread, they recognize him. Can you imagine that moment? Recognizing, not like just like, it kind of looks like Jesus. I'm not sure. They had a moment of complete clarity. Those moments are very rare in life. A moment of complete clarity, and they saw him. Could you imagine their hearts when they saw him? How happy they were. And then he vanished from their sight. So that they then would run back to Jerusalem and tell the apostles, the remaining, the 11 at that point, about the resurrection. And already, when they were running back to Jerusalem, already what had occurred is Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, to Mary the Theotokos. He had appeared to Peter individually because Peter needed a little bit of extra care. Since his denial had really, really messed him up. Maybe that's not a very theological term, but he was in bad shape because of that denial. And he didn't believe that he could ever be an apostle, that he had completely ruined everything. So Jesus appeared to Peter by himself. It's recorded that he appeared to Peter, but not the actual event. We don't have a record of that appearance. We just know that it happened. This is our life. This is how the resurrection is revealed. It's revealed a little bit by little bit. Not because God is trying to keep it from us, but because we don't have the capacity to know it yet. And basically, these gospels of the period of the Pentecostarian, especially basically the period of Paschal time, which is Pascha officially ends, time of Pascha officially ends the day before the Ascension. The leave-taking of Pascha is that day. They're all about enlightenment. And if you look at them, they are kind of gradual enlightenment. We're going to have the Samaritan woman, how she comes to a realization that Jesus is indeed the Christ. We're going to have the blind man. We're going to have the paralytic who was healed, but then he came to know that he was healed by Christ. And the same thing for the blind man. We see gradual enlightenment. Thomas is a great example, right? He didn't believe. But he couldn't stay away. He couldn't just leave. He was a fisherman. He could have decided, oh, I'm going to take a ship and go to the other side of the Mediterranean, to North Africa, and I'm just going to forget about all this. But he didn't. He didn't, because there was something in his heart that was still burning. So don't be afraid of when you're despondent, even when you have times of unbelief. I once heard a quote, or read it, that belief is a dialogue with doubt. We have doubt because we're human beings. Sometimes we see things and they seem to be so oppressive that they kind of overshadow what we know that we know. Just like it happened to Luke and Cleopas, just like it happened to Peter, just like it happened to Thomas. But God works through all of that, and he enlightens us. I want to share with you, before I read the gospel, before any priest reads the gospel, in the liturgy, he says a prayer. And it has in it this line: open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of the preaching of thy gospel. And it goes on further, says some things. I think this is what we need to ask God for, either in so many words exactly, or just in your spirit, that you're saying, God, I don't know anything. I don't even know how to know things. Sometimes I just don't get it. Sometimes I'm just dense. Here you are walking on the road and I can't even recognize you. Here you have done so many miracles in my life and revealed yourself to me. And yet, when there is a moment that is very dark and difficult for me, my faith is shaken. Why? I can't answer that question. And God doesn't bother to answer that question. What he does is eventually imbue you with faith through your life experiences, just like happened to Luke and Cleopas. What a beautiful gospel this is. And it just is about your life. I wish that some people that I know, that I love very dearly, they would be able to understand that this is the process. So many people, when they come to some really significant, difficult thing, they lose their faith. They might not say, I don't believe in God anymore, but their faith is no longer living and active. They stop praying. I know somebody in prison stopped praying because of grief. Now, he should have kept praying through the grief. The prayer would have been pretty terrible prayer. Let's be honest about it. It would have been prayer. They would have been distracted. It would have been prayer. Sometimes I'd even be angry. It would have been prayer that would be sort of brief, maybe. It would have been prayer that would have a kind of a tinge of this unbelief to it that Luke and Cleopas had, even as they were talking to Christ. But it would have been effort. And God would have rewarded that effort. And he's coming out of it. So this is your life. Isn't it beautiful? Well, I guess actually, the things we go through, they're not beautiful at all. They're not beautiful at all. But the result is that our heart is burning within us, and eventually that heart will be enlightened and will have clarity, complete clarity of who Christ is and who we are and how much he loves us. And we will be with the Lord. This is what is happening in our life. Christ is risen.
True.
Christos voskrese.
Christos
anesti.
Anesti.